Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. Today, one story from September 11th. As chance would have it, I happened to be in New York City 5 years ago, working on a story for Fox News. I was able to go to Ground Zero, or close to it, on the second day, and on 4 days after the events, I was able to get right to the very heart of Ground Zero. Those memories are incredibly strong still. Today, we're going to hear the story of someone who probably should have died that day, but for a variety of reasons, did not. One September 11th story. I'm joined by Stephen Merkel, general counsel to Cantor Fitzgerald, the financial securities firm that lost 658 employees on September 11th. Steve, thanks for coming on the program.
Sure, David.
That day started out very differently for you. What happened?
It was a beautiful day. Clear, low humidity, not too hot. And I walked to work, which I did once in a while, but pretty rarely. And on my way, I was just having a good time. I went by an opening in a store that was advertising gym memberships for a new gym that was coming to an area downtown, and it looked interesting. And I had remembered that they had another branch of it sort of near where I live. So I went in there and spent some time asking questions about it, and must have spent at least 10-15 minutes there. And then sort of continued on towards the Trade Center. When I realized I had a question, sort of an odd question, went back. I actually had their business card to the person who had told me most of what I needed to know, and I thought I should give them a call, but I figured, you know, it's nice. I walked back up the street. So I spent about 5 minutes walking back up and talking to them again about my question, which was if I needed to relocate, could I sort of change the membership? Could I change the primary gym of where I was going and either relocate to where I live or where I worked? And they said that I could, and we talked a bit more, and I went back towards work, and I ordinarily would go into the Trade Center on down below at the level, really, of the lobby level. But again, it was really a nice day, so I decided instead to take escalators up towards the plaza level where you could see the towers. It's a pretty view up there, and it's a little bit out of my way. And while I was up there, I saw a couple of gentlemen who were obviously traveling. They had suit bags in their hands, and they were sort of looking around, a bit confused, and I asked them if they needed any help, directions or anything. They said yes, they wanted to be sure they were going to the right restaurant. They had a meeting, and they wanted to know in which tower should they go. Was it in the first or the second tower? They thought they were going to what was then called Windows on the World, which is the top of One World Trade. And I told them they actually were going to neither of the towers. They were certainly not to One World Trade, where the Windows was. They should be going across the street over the highway. And they were a bit confused, and I offered to walk them towards the overpass. So I walked them towards the overpass of where they needed to go, and that took a few minutes. They were grateful. It was no big deal. I was happy to meet them, and then I sort of went down the escalators down towards the building and through security, where I gave everyone my ID, and then into the elevators of the building. The elevators to the lobby go to the 78th floor, and then you switch from the 78th floor to our floors, which were up on 101 through 105.
Those were the top floors of the building?
We had 101 through 105, and the top two floors, 106 and 107, were Windows on the World,
right,
the restaurant and conference center. And while I was just standing there is when there was a sudden noise and all sorts of strange particles sort of coming down the elevator shaft. It was sort of strange. It was weird, these little things that were coming down. And then when we turned around, we had an opportunity sort of to run out of the elevators at that point. We heard people screaming, "Get out!" And when we walked out of the elevators, we saw flames and broken glass, and everyone was running and screaming. And it then became obvious to me what I thought at the time, that the building had been bombed again. And the immediate thought that ran through my head was that this was sort of an obvious... We were obviously a target. We had been bombed before. We'd just been bombed again, and this was incredibly stupid. In any event, at no point did really any of this occur to me that, you know, anyone was in grave danger a little bit with the flames, and I was a little bit worried. It's a bit scary, but quickly found someone in the lobby I knew, and we decided to go up the escalators towards the overpass over West Street, going west towards the river. Still didn't really know what had happened, and hadn't really thought much about the fact that, with all the delays that I had had, you know, that morning, every minute, as it turned out, maybe even every second actually sort of made a difference. None of this was really running through my mind. What was running through my mind was I wasn't going to be able to get up at that point, you know, to the building. And everyone was in our place, I figured, was going to have to come down. It was going to be sort of annoying, but something we would deal with. And I called up to someone I was sort of next door to me in my office and spoke with him, and he explained that he told me that, I mean, he knew more than I had that at that point, that the building had hit by an airplane, and they were sort of surveying the situation, figuring out what they should do. When I sort of looked up through the glass to the escalator as I was going up, I realized that it didn't look good. It was flaming. Smoke was coming out, and I said, doesn't look good from here. And he said, all right, we've decided we're going to leave. We're getting out. And I said, all right, talk to you later. And that was how we ended that conversation. It was, you know, I had no sense that it was going to be difficult, if not impossible for them. No sense it was our last conversation. Continued up the escalator. The security guards were scared. There was sort of a bit of panic in their eyes. They had never seen anything quite like this. And I still was, as I say, I don't think I had a deep appreciation as to quite what was going on. I called, I did at that point call my wife and told her that I was fine. And she said, what do you mean? And she had no idea what was going on. I told her the plane had hit the building. And I wasn't sure when I was going to, you know, what we were going to do and how we were going to all relocate at work. It was going to be, I thought it might be very inconvenient. We're going to have to figure out where we're going to have offices. What are we going to do? And they could keep us out for a while. And I remember we were standing outside just sort of waiting, trying to figure out what to do and not feeling able to get anybody else on the phone again at work. When we were standing outside, again, the World Financial Center, looking up at the towers, when I sort of turned away towards the river looking at the crowd and talking on the phone again, when there was a sudden loud noise and a woman began to shriek, and I saw her face, and she was just shrieking. And when I turned around, I saw what had happened, which was the second hit, the second plane hitting. And then everyone who had been, people who had been, a bit of a buzz and a bit of some excitement, but not really any sense of fear or panic. When that second plane hit, the crowd dispersed immediately. There was, everyone was sort of scattered and scared. And again, obviously what ran through our brain at that point was what ran through everyone's brain, I guess, who was watching, which was this was that first hit was no accident, and there was something extremely unusual going on. And I assumed we were, that New York and certain financial areas were targets. The phone no longer worked. All the cell phones at that point were out. I did have with me a mobile device, a BlackBerry, to be able to send some messages. So I sent a message to my brother to tell him that I was fine. I had not spoken with him. I sent some messages trying to ask some folks if I could use some conference rooms, thought we'd be able to do that. And I didn't know until later. Those emails were not received that day. In fact, those emails were not received until we rebuilt the server 3 weeks later. As we were walking up West Street, we saw the buildings and we saw them were on fire. We began to see things coming sort of off of the towers down, and again, I was walking with a colleague I'd gone out together with. We had left the lobby together, and we spent the whole next couple of hours together. And he didn't quite know what was happening. I had to explain to him that those were bodies. Those were people who were jumping. From my eye and maybe bringing something with it, I determined that all the people who were jumping, I thought were sort of at the point of where the fire was and maybe sort of not on our floors. And I continued to, as I was walking, to believe that our folks would get out somehow. They'd go down the stairs. I assumed they were, you know, the plane hit below them, and they would find the stairways. They would just go down the stairs, and we'd eventually catch up. The people who were jumping were somehow in the fire. But I began to get a little bit cold inside. I remember feeling a strange change in my body, and I began sort of thinking about what we were going to need to do. And I began sort of having a very vivid thought that I really thought we really should probably make sure we don't go back into that building again. I said, I just don't think we should work there anymore. We're just pushing it.
Stephen Merkel's September 11 story will continue in the next segment.